Hello and welcome to 100% Real with Ruby. Today we have John Goodman, and he's worked with millions of trainers and he's spoken with millions of clients over the past few years. And in this period of time, you can imagine how many conversations he has initiated, how many conversations he has had on the deeper levels, because he's all about that human connection. And in this period of time, he's been able to separate what makes a successful transformation, not just physically, but mentally, which is the most important element to sustaining change. And we were talking before I clicked record that everything comes with trade-offs, and it's almost like we're striving for an image which ends up being some superficial why. And sometimes that can actually be our bottleneck because we haven't dug deep into what is it that this journey is actually going to bring to the rest of my life. And a lot of you listening to the show know that everything I talk about is how is this journey going to benefit your relationships, your career, how you show up in life, how you're going to actually be more confident in everything that you do. And I could say millions about how much Jonathan has actually brought to this industry in this human connection, but it's well and good for us coaches to try and make this connection with you, but you yourself need to make it with yourself, but you're separating your human emotions from just striving, doing, but not actually asking yourself, how is this making me feel? Why is this change so important for me to make? So with all of that being said, here is John. And I just want you to express how important it is for people to have this knowledge of there are trade-offs, but we also need to know our driving force so that we can keep paddling in our boat despite all the things that life brings us, and why it is so important to put our health and fitness first.
Sure. Hi, happy to be here. It's just a matter of there's just so many things that I want to do over the course of a day. There's so many things that are interesting to me that I want to achieve. But at the end of the day, there's only so much time that we have. And so we've got to be really selective. And what's present is almost never what's actually pressing. Just because somebody emails you doesn't mean that that person or that email is actually what's important for you to pay attention to right now. To our conversation before, where we just because Instagram is there and it's easy to post on doesn't mean it's the best way to market your business. And just because you see other people doing it doesn't mean it's the best way to market your business. I think it's just so important. It doesn't take very much effort to get into a league of your own. And I always use the metaphor here. I love to hike. So we've done a lot of hiking across the Canadian and American national park systems. And what's always interesting to me, the American national parks, I'm Canadian, but the American national parks specifically, some of them are very, very busy. And you get there and you get to the parking lot and it's really busy, and you get there and you're walking along the path, the main hike that everybody goes on in the national park and sees the big rocks or whatever it is. And it's very, very busy and everybody's taking pictures and you're jockeying for position. And then all you got to do is walk 5 minutes beyond that main path, and you got the whole park to yourself. It takes so little effort beyond what everybody else is doing to be in a league of your own. And that effort often is taking a step back to think about what's really important to you. What is your priority sequence? And knowing that everything that you choose to do is going to have trade-offs, is going to take your time, is going to take your attention, might take your money, might take time away from your family, right? Whatever your priorities are. We use the example of my background. I don't know if this is going to be on video or not, but my background is this crappy Mexican kitchen. And the reason for that is I'm living in a pueblo in Mexico right now. And that's just how I want to live my life in the winters. I've spent 4 to 6 months every year for the last 9 years traveling, living in a foreign country and stuff like that. And it's not the best sound for a podcast you could possibly do. It's not the best branding for me I could possibly do. You see these podcasts where they've got, you know, beautiful setups with perfect backgrounds. And every time that you see them, it's like perfect lighting. Well, like, my lighting's kind of shit right now. And that's not the best way to brand myself. But this also means that I get to live my life the way that I want to live my life. And I understand that in doing that, there's the trade-off that maybe perhaps my branding on podcasts is going to be a little bit worse. And that's just something I'm okay with.
I love that you did make that connection. And for anyone listening to this, it takes a little effort to step away from the crowd. And the way this relates to,
Crowds are usually pretty dumb. Can I just interject with that for a second? Crowds are generally really easy to manipulate and really, really emotionally triggered, which means they're pretty dumb. Okay. Individuals are not, but crowds generally are. So like being a part of the crowd is almost never a good idea.
it's so true. And we allow ourselves to be at that level of, I guess you can say, dumb, because we give in to the emotional manipulation. Like, look at the whole COVID thing. It's like we were moved out of fear to act in a certain way because of fear. And I remember listening to on a podcast once where it's like, do you want to be the coach that trains athletes with the whole, if you don't do this, then all of this stuff is going to happen, and then they're moving out of fear? Or do you want to be the one that actually rewards them and be like, if you do this, imagine all these amazing things that happen, and have them internally motivated that way? It's like, mm-hmm. which coach do you want to be? But in like the personal level, you just like, you put it on a post before. It's like, it's like seen as weird to actually meal prep your food, take that food to work. It's seen as weird to eat before you go out to a restaurant if you don't like the way that they don't make things for you. It's seen as weird if you pull out the chef or pull out the waitress and be like, this is how I actually want my food. And people are so scared of what other people think that they are not willing to stand up for themselves. They are not willing to put their health and fitness first. It's like, no, I need to fit in the crowd. No, I can't be a burden on this person. So I need to do things my way. I mean, I need to do things the way that I always do them. And that just gets us into the trap of staying stuck where we are, not confident in our bodies, not confident in the way that we do things. And it makes us want to jump to more extreme measures because we can't stay consistent with just doing the basic shit because there's too many external influences around us. Like, you see that a lot, I'm guessing, as well, within talking to trainers and clients yourself.
What do you think the basic stuff is that we all need to be a little bit better being consistent with?
I actually think it's being able to stand up for your journey, because everyone starts off with the right intentions. It's starting off with eating more vegetables, eating more protein, prioritizing protein, reducing the extra takeaways, the extra fried foods, but then they're put into an environmental influence, and that's not seen as a normal thing anymore. It's something that's foreign. It's like, why are you eating that way?
Right. Okay. So it's understanding that the extras beyond kind of the core foods and stuff you're eating are kind of what's taking you down sometimes.
I think the basics is pretty much just taking things one step at a time and sticking to, like, anything that someone commits to, actually sticking to that instead of throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks, or on the other hand, not sticking it through because something gets in the way and they don't want to be a burden. They don't see themselves as a priority to put themselves first. And I see this a lot with women and being mothers. It's like I had a client come to me the other day saying, I finally got to watch your video and it's kicked me in the bum, and I don't know why I keep letting myself go, even though it's the same conversation I have with her all the time.
Did they actually say kicked you in the bum?
She actually said that kicked me in the bum.
Somebody said kicked me in the bum.
Yeah, she said that the video kicked her in the bum. And
this is the most PG woman I've ever heard.
I love talking colloquially to my clients so that they feel like they can reach out to me whenever. And to me, that's the most important thing. I don't want them to feel like they have a barrier to any communication. They don't have to be proper or hold up to an image. So that's like the connection I have. And it's like, you can have the same conversation over and over with someone, but it's so hard to get them to put themselves first. So I guess in having these conversations with all these trainers that go through the same thing and all of these clients that find it hard to put themselves first, what is something that you've been able to elucidate from these conversations?
From which conversations?
The ones where people are not seeing the value in putting themselves first, or they start to do it, but then they fall off that consistency loop.
I don't think I'd ever say that anybody is not seeing the value of putting themselves first. You know, I don't know if I could ever make that claim. Maybe that's true or not. But I don't think I could ever make that claim. From my perspective, it's just confusing. There's just so many things out there that we feel like we should do in order to be, choose your success metric, attractive, rich, happy, whatever, you know, the list goes on. There's so many things that we're made to believe are important in order to achieve this. And most of them are spurred on by marketing. And it's hard to see past marketing because it's so persuasive. It's even harder to see past marketing because of how in our face it is all the time. We used to be able to go home. I mean, even when I was young, I'm not old, I'm 36, but I grew up in a day and age where I'm fortunate my family had a computer when I was younger. We were one of the only families that did, but it was, you know, you'd go there and you'd load up MS-DOS and you press F9 and you know, your computer would boot up or whatever. It wasn't in your face. If we turned on TV, it was because it was 8 p.m. on a Sunday night and The Simpsons was on. We didn't sit around. There were, you know, in our basement was the TV. On the main floor, there wasn't a television. Upstairs, there wasn't a television. And nobody brought televisions, i.e. phones, iPads, whatever, around with them because the phone was stuck to the wall. You couldn't bring it with you. And so you just think about how different that is these days where humans have to adapt this new awareness of all of these signals coming in, trying to convince them of things. And it was always happening. And marketing was always trying to convince you that you're not enough. Marketing was always trying to convince you that you needed to buy something. And they were very persuasive. I would actually argue that marketers probably across the board were better 50 years ago than they are now, simply because they had to be. I mean, the cost of admission was so much higher. If you're going to market a message to somebody and you need to send a letter out in the mail that you're going to put a physical stamp on, have somebody cut out a little coupon, mail it back to you, you're going to take a lot more effort writing that letter than you are doing your third Instagram post every day that you send off from your phone. There's just a higher cost of admission. And so they were better across the board. There are some marketers now that are good, but for the most part, most marketing these days is pretty shit, actually. And it's just because you have to do so much. And I don't believe that that's true. In fact, our mantra at our business is hashtag do less better.
Something I say as my own little thing to my girls is you can do a little, a lot, but you can only do a lot, a little, and little by little, a little becomes a lot. And when we see all these things smashed in our face on Instagram, I know you post about this a lot. It's like, okay, I need to do this exercise. Oh, look at that one. That must've grown her booty. Maybe I should do that exercise. Oh, ooh, that looks like a good workout. Maybe I'll do this instead. And we get carried away with all these mixed messages that we get lost in our own path. And it gets so confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're in a very awkward point right now where everybody's just kind of figuring it out. I liken, you know, the stage that the fitness industry is in to like an awkward adolescent phase. We're basically all starting high school, having just gone through puberty, trying to get laid, like puffing out our chest, pretending like we're confident about ourselves, but not really. That's kind of the stage the fitness industry is in right now. Nobody really knows what they're doing. Everybody kind of knows that they don't really know what they're doing, but nobody's willing to admit it. And so as a result, there's just tons of messages everywhere, conflicting messages everywhere, messages from people who, quite frankly, don't have very much experience at all. But how do you tell? Because previously it was much easier to identify, based on a couple really clear indicators, whether somebody had a certain level of seriousness about what they were doing, you know, higher production value. If somebody had a website, if somebody wrote a book, for example, like all of these things, because they cost money and they took a lot of effort to do. And so ain't nobody going to go to that much trouble for nonsense. Well, now, because it's no trouble, it's very, very hard. So I think it's very, very important to understand that a lot of the previous indicators that we had of brand value, which we unconsciously connect to being important, trustworthy, are kind of out the window because a lot of the tools have become democratized in order to achieve that perceived brand value. And so we have to look for other indicators. This is why I'm doing podcasts. Because a podcast is 5 minutes off of the path in a national park. It's not that much extra effort, but it's just enough that the majority of people are never going to go there. And it's an indicator to me that the person who has the podcast is the type of person who was willing to go the extra 10%.
See, I love that because it leads to the fact that there is this path that you're on this fitness journey. You just need to keep doing those extra little blips along the road. Mm-hmm. And eventually it's going to lead up to something big because you're going to see sights. You're going to learn new things along the way by mm-hmm. seeing things that no one else has ever seen. Like you're going on your own fitness journey. Everyone else, it's kind of like the life journey. You're all moving on the same path. You're all doing the same things. You're all influenced by the same landmarks, trees, whatever else. And you're going to make these little pit stops along the way that maybe other people won't make because they're too busy worrying about, oh, but I don't want to be the last one to see this, or I want to be the first one to see this. Everyone is so busy hustling in life and trying to get somewhere that they mm-hmm. have not slowed down to actually step away, to take their time, to learn new things. And the same goes for these 12-week challenges. Like that's something that I kept thinking of every single time that you mentioned this investment you make, that little extra effort. The more investment you put into something, the more you're going to get out of it. Like you can put out a $500 marketing piece or a $5,000 marketing piece. The people mm-hmm. that you get with the $5,000 marketing piece are probably going to be higher value. They're gonna give a lot more effort because you're trying to sell a higher price product versus some quick 12-week booty challenge, whatever the hell fix that might get someone in and out the door and then leave. And then you have right. to do the marketing all over again to try and get a new crowd. But from the actual client perspective, because this is for the clients, like there's no coaches that listen to this. For the client's perspective, it's like, do you want to keep buying these 12-week transformations, never really getting the end result, never really learning from it, and keep buying that? Or do you want to go that extra 5 minutes here and there along the road and take that longer route and learn more things, see more things, have more experience that others don't? And in that sense, your value is this much higher because you've experienced a lot more. You've grown in the process.
Mm-hmm. Look, what you focus on is what's going to improve. And I kind of believe that you can only really focus on one, maybe two, probably one thing at a time. And I wish it weren't this way, because there's a whole lot of stuff I want to do. In my life, I have three competing priorities. I've got my health and fitness, I've got my business, and I've got my family. And I would really love to really push forward and try to actively improve upon all three of those at the same time. I've come to the sad realization that I can only do two at once. And so I actually split my year in half. And so my family is always priority. I'm always trying to make as much time as I can. And there's ebbs and flows with how much I'm able to commit to them. But I'm always, it's always a priority. But beyond that, my business and fitness go in an ebb and flow, 6 months at a time, give or take. Where I'm actively trying to push one of them forward for those 6 months. And the other one, don't get me wrong, I'm working on, but I don't feel bad if I'm not like cranking at it. You know what I'm saying? Because you just can't. And that's been so valuable for me because I used to, even if one of them was going really well, I'd feel guilty about not doing the other one.
The guilt is the thing that I see with a lot of people. How do you work through the guilt?
Yeah, I think you just have to be okay with what you're doing and focusing on at that time and saying, I've decided that for this period of time, I'm going to really put a push forward. There's this dilution of efforts that happens because there's a lack of focus. And with fitness, particularly for people whose job isn't fitness, like you're not going to be able to put your all into it all the time. You just can't. Even I've been in the fitness industry for 17 years. I can't. Like I don't think that you can. And so, but if you put 2 months where you say, okay, these 2 months I've got pretty open. I know that I'm going to be able to sleep well. I know it's relatively low stress at work. I know that I'm going to eat pretty well during this time. I'm going to really put a push on for these 2 months. What people don't understand about fitness is that our body works in a body always tries to achieve levels of homeostasis. Basically, the stage that we're at right now is the stage that our body is comfortable in. And it's going to take a lot of effort to either improve our fitness or decrease our fitness, right? Because our body always wants to stay kind of where it's comfortable. And that's called a homeostatic set point. And so the interesting thing, though, is you can adjust that set point and that becomes your new set point. So once you put a lot of effort for a smaller, more concentrated amount of time, say 2 months or whatever it is, well, you're really pushing it, right? You're really trying to improve those 2 months, let's say. And I say 2 months because most people can commit to 2 months, max 3 months at a time. It's kind of hard to commit to anything longer than that. And I'm a guy who inside and out believes that fitness is a lifelong journey, but like commitment is commitment, right? If you do that, what you'll do is, and you work with a good coach, you'll reset that set point to a higher level of fitness. And even if you start to come down from that because you're not pushing it as much, it's going to take less effort next time to get back up to that point. This is the hidden secret behind transformation photos and stuff like that, that a lot of marketers don't want you to know. When you see like this crazy transformation that took place in a very small amount of time, it's because that person was already fit at some point in their past. And then they fell out of shape. And then to get back into shape again is way easier than doing it the first time. So it's just important to understand these things because you can then approach this and say, all right, like I'm going to work with Ruby for these 2 or 3 months and I'm going to crank it because I know that I can put my all into it for these 2 months, for these 3 months. And I know that this, and I'm going to work with Ruby in her VIP program and her highest level program. And I'm going to take everything she has to offer because I want to make real changes in these 3 months. And then following that, I'm going to take a month or two and I'm going to downgrade my service possibly with Ruby. And I'm just going to have her maintain with me. Because I'm going to be okay with not pushing it for the next month or 2 months after that. I'm going to dive back in and be there. I mean, something that, I don't know, there's so many things I want to talk about more, and just social media is such a snapshot. It's harder to get into these nuanced things, but like something that I always spoke about with my clients and worked with them to get over is the amount of sacrifices they often had to make with their family in order to work fitness into their life. They were doing it for their family, but they had to make sacrifices. So my client, who was a teacher that would come to the gym after school, she'd work out with me at 4:30 p.m. She'd get home at 5:30 p.m. She wouldn't necessarily have dinner on the table for her family. She was the home, her husband. I mean, there's a deeper story, but her husband was dying of cancer at the time. And so she was taking care of her husband, her two kids, and it was really, really tough. And the fitness was a break for her, and it was important for her to be in control of something when her husband was dying, and she just wasn't in control of it. And so but it was hard for her because she wasn't able to take care of the house. Her house was a mess. She wasn't able to cook for her family as much. They were ordering out food a little bit more. There were these sacrifices. There were these trade-offs that she had to make. Holy shit, that's hard. And it wasn't sustainable for a long time. She needed to get through this phase where her husband was very, very ill. And, you know, unfortunately, her husband passed away. And it was a relief, to be honest, but it sucked. And she took more maintenance time at the gym for a while after that. And she was there with her family more. Like, beautiful, right? This is how we make fitness a lifelong thing, because you can't push it 24/7. You just can't. And you've got to be okay not pushing it for those periods of time.
You can't go 100%, 100% of the time. You'll burn out your engines. It's just like pressing your foot like to the ground on the accelerator on the car, and you're going to burn out the engine, and there's going to come a time where you need to rest off. You need to go to it's not about changing focus. It's about shifting focus. And if you don't do that, you're going to burn out all cylinders, and you're going to have the check engine light on, and you're going to keep trying to keep going. And before you know it, you've burnt out, and your body is signaling all the different things inside. And then before you know it, your body just has crashed. And then you think, what's wrong with me? I need to jump onto the next fad. I need to fix myself. But none of that is the answer. The answer is actually investing in that lifestyle thing. And I love the way that you say you can go full throttle. And this is something I preach around holiday time, especially. And you can go full throttle if you have that plan long-term with someone, because if you're going to go full throttle for like 12 weeks and not have an after plan, you're going to end up like a mess at the end. And this is something I see all the time. And this is when I have these conversations with clients, because they've tried all the challenges. They've tried all the fad diets. Then they come to me saying, my metabolism is broken. I can't lose fat. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm training really hard. My food, trying to clean. Like, that's what I get, because people go too hard without an after plan, or they get driven into this idea that, oh, I went this hard. Going this hard gave me these results. I need to keep going this hard or I'm going to lose results. They don't see the benefit of this maintenance thing, which is something that we spoke about before as well. But just like, how important is it to have a good coach? Like, what do you see mostly that separates these good coaches from these bad? I like using the word coach, because there's so many trainers that just slap their name on, but they don't, like you said before, they don't know the things.
Yeah.
Like, use coach instead. What's the importance?
And it's funny, because I like using trainer, because coach is too ambiguous to me. But I agree. I definitely agree. Because I mean, I like, even my Instagram name, it's Coach Goodman, right? I don't call myself Trainer Goodman. I call myself Coach Goodman. But whenever I speak about this, I call out trainers and not coaches, because coach is too ambiguous for social media. It's empathy. It's what you're demonstrating. It's understanding that there's more to it. It's understanding that there's an ebb and a flow. I mean, life is not a 30-day transformation. And even after you make those, you know, those 30 days, so what? Where's your support? What are you doing? And have you actually achieved anything that you can bring with you? other than knowing that some types of foods you need to demonize in order to lose weight. Like, that's clearly not a way to lose life. Like, you're going to be scared of eating that for the rest of your life? No, I mean, it's just not how it works. And it's not how food works either. Like, food is fuel and carbohydrates are not evil. And there's chemicals and everything. So like all of these things that say, you know, don't eat foods with chemicals. It's like chemicals are on the periodic table and literally everything is made out of things on the periodic table. Therefore, everything has chemicals in it. I mean, you're eating chemicals, I promise you. And so, you know, demonizing these things again is just this way for marketers to basically charge more money. Like, there's no superfoods. There's just foods. The superfood label is just a way to charge more for an obscure ingredient. It's like, there's not much more to it than that. So I don't disagree that putting an extra push on for a short period of time is necessarily a bad thing. But I think it's very important to have a great coach with you who has a plan that says, okay, for this period of your life, you're going to be good to put a push on. And this is going to be perhaps a bit of a strain with your family. So like, first off, like let's get that clear and talk about what that might mean and plan for that, right? I don't want you with your wife or your husband and your kids. You know, I want to make sure that they know why you're doing this and they know, and we make plans to mitigate it. So, hey, in addition to this really intense workout and nutrition program for, let's say, this month or these 2 months to give yourself that like jumpstart, I think it's going to be really important for you to get a cleaner to come to your house once every 2 weeks and for you to have somebody like I had a local college kid come to our house twice a week for the whole summer and cook for us. Costs less than if we were to order out, healthier food.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because we were going through a lot of very deep personal stuff during the summer, and it was hard. It wasn't fitness stuff, but it was hard. It was hard on my wife. And so, you know, a great coach will actually plan for all of these things with you. They're not just going to give you like a macro diet and tell you to not eat carbs.
That's why I separate the coach from the trainers as well, because something that moves me, like I got repelled from actually being a trainer in a facility and doing one-on-one because.
Ooh, tell me what happened. Let's hear this.
I wasn't able to make the connections with clients and they weren't so invested in actually the lifestyle of change. It's like, okay, you can come in, you can get out and not make change that drastically until you look into your lifestyle. Like,
right.
What else is impacting this? What's the emotional stuff around it? Like, can we look at your food? Can I actually track you outside of the gym? Because that 1 hour, that 30 minutes isn't enough for me to actually make a meaningful impact on your life. And like we spoke about before this, my thing is actually impacting people's lives beyond just the person, but the generations and the people that they can impact. And I can't do that in a 1 hour session. And it wasn't fulfilling for me. Mm-hmm. And as much as I tried to move it in that direction, the environment that I was in, they weren't for that. Whereas now I can actually reach more people that want to change their whole life in, like, we're humans, we're four-dimensional, we're not 2D. And that's what you wrote in one of your posts. Fat loss scam sold on IG, stupid skinny teas, dumb, dangerous detoxes, foolish fad diets, and farty fat burners. And I loved that part because
the farty fat burners was one that I was particularly proud of.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it because I'm an alliteration person and it was alliterative.
Oh, yeah.
But
it took some time to put that one together, I'll tell you.
I loved that post because it's true. Like, people don't care about everything that comes with it. They just want the end results. And for me, that's not fulfilling enough because then what happens after that? And that's the issue. It's like, it's not the issue in the next few months. It's down the road when life takes over, when you can't actually do the same things over and over because the diet that actually got you to lose weight isn't something that you should see yourself doing forever. It's the habits, it's the lifestyle, it's the person you become that is. But if you got that in 12 weeks, that's not you. Because the diet that got you to lose weight is not the diet that you need to maintain and to flourish and thrive in life, because you're not thriving on that much, like that little bit of food. And something you said as well, which is what I preach all the time, is stop using coaches for just weight loss. We are not here for just weight loss. And if you keep putting that pressure on yourself to just lose weight, if you keep putting that pressure on yourself to look a certain way, to go super hard, to be perfection, which we can go around to the whole, we need to keep up an image, because like, what is perfect? Perfect to you is how you perceive others should see you or need to see you. That's what perfect is, because my version of perfect is not your version of perfect, is not Jane or Susan's version of perfect. Like, stop using coaches just for weight loss. We're here for all the other elements that create life. And you mentioned it here as well. Like, you don't need to go from zero to 100. You just need to do the next best thing. And shiny shit sells. But then what happens after that? What happens when that doesn't work? You lose faith in yourself. And actually, something I see a lot is people losing their faith in themselves to try again, to go again. And on the other end, there's people that just lack the confidence to put themselves out there, to put their goals out there. So then they fall off track because they're not committing to parameters on, no, this is where I'm at right now. This is in detail where I want to be by here, and then where I want to be by here. They're not actually putting it out there because they're scared they're going to slip up. They're scared they're going to like fall backwards on it.
There's one thing. I mean, you said a lot there, which was great. But there's one thing that I want to point out that I think is such an important point, which is most of the people that we aim to serve, that we set out to serve, have tried already in the past, and maybe they've had some success. Maybe they've had a lot of success, or maybe they've had none. Regardless, they haven't quite become satisfied with whatever they're doing. It's rare. I mean, I'm an exception personally. Like, I still hire trainers. And I'm happy with where I'm at. I feel like I know enough, but I'm just curious. So I'm always hiring trainers, and I love working with trainers. It's also just, I just don't want to build my own workouts. I want to be told what to do in the gym. My whole business life, I tell other people what to do. Like, I want to be told what to do when I go to the gym. But there's so much deception and lies. I used the line in an article, this is years back, that Lucy's pulled the football away one too many times. If you ever follow Charlie Brown, Peanuts comics.
Yeah.
Where every time that Charlie Brown would go to kick the football, Lucy would pull it away. You can only do that so many times until Charlie just says, screw you, stop holding that football. I'm not going to try to kick it anymore. Now in the comic, it's obviously a gag. He keeps trying to do it and she keeps pulling it away and he keeps falling. And I don't know, that comic was never that funny, but it's one of those, like, compared to like Garfield and compared to like Calvin and Hobbes. I mean, I named my firstborn after Calvin and Hobbes, so like, clearly I'm a Calvin and Hobbes guy, but Lucy's pulled the football away one too many times. Marketers can only deceive people so many times. They can only tell them that what they're doing before is wrong and stupid and the reason that they're not happy, and call them ugly or use visual images to make them feel like they're not enough. And by the way, you will be enough and you will be happy and fulfilled forever if you just buy this next best thing. You can only pull that shit once or twice.
Yeah.
And that's starting to happen in our industry. Too much. Where consumers are just kind of starting to get smarter and smarter and less trustworthy. And it's super annoying for coaches, because good coaches like yourself, you know, are the victims of this more than anything else. People don't trust you as much as they should because they've been, you know, fall prey to people who have said things that sounded nice before and not delivered on it.
I've had that happen way too many times.
Yeah. And it sucks. And the only way that you can really overcome that, to what we were talking about before we began recording, is just to be human. I deeply believe that success in 2022 and beyond is going to be led primarily by how human you can be, how genuine you can be. It's not who's going to post better content. It's not who can point to more words using whatever trending fucking audio on Instagram or whatever. It's not going to be what's going to lead to somebody being successful. It might get eyeballs, but what are you trying to do? And so it's going to be human connection. It's going to be reaching out to somebody. Like my newsletter, I have a monthly newsletter that I send out, and I sent out the first one last month. We finally figured out a name for it. You know what the name is? The name is You Good? ? And it's just a monthly check-in for me, right? Like, how you doing? Let's talk. It's not me trying to sell you anything. The best marketing any trainer can do is just send people a message and just be like, hey, I was just thinking of you the other day because of this thing.
It's funny because I've been doing that for years without even the intention of marketing, because like I genuinely love talking to people and I love those conversations. And I feel like social media has taken away a lot of that because of the skepticism. And it is so hard because it's not just the fact that Lucy keeps taking away the ball. It's that over and over, like clients are, like you said, losing trust in any approach, but not just the approaches, they're losing trust in themselves. And I use this example of a client at the moment because it's only so recent that this happened. And over and over, she's been with me for like 6 months. And nothing. Like there was obviously progress up here, not down here where she wants it, but like up here, I mean up here, the brain. But it's, she kept doing the same shit. She never listened to a thing I said. I put stuff out there, didn't follow it, added in extra HIIT workouts, added in extra cardio, added in all this extra stuff because she needs to be doing more. I have the macros out for her. Now I'm going to try not eat as much as she gave me during the day. She does fine for like 2 days. Really tired, exhausted, binge eats, emotionally eats, repeats the same cycle. And now it's just like, nope, 3 days doing jack shit. I want you to eat 2,000, not 14,000 calories. And it's only in the last 2 weeks.
She's eating, how do you eat 14,000 calories?
I mean, 1,400, sorry.
Ooh, okay.
14,000
calories, Jesus. I'm not even mad, I'm impressed.
I would be like, be the world's best eater, but like 14, like 2000, not 1400, and actually feeding yourself, resting more. And it was a fight for months. And finally she's come around to that. And she's like, I actually didn't emotionally eat from being so tired because I'm not tired. I had a nap today. Like all these little things, she's actually prioritizing protein. She stopped seeing calories in food. She almost left my coaching twice, and I didn't let her give up on herself. I'm like, you're not leaving me and you're not giving up on yourself. I kept pushing, like I pushed her through the time she wanted to quit, and now it's all worth it because she's starting to see it. She's starting to realize how different this is, but she's still reverting to that mentality here and there, so I do have to pull her up on it here and there. But that's the thing, like I heard this other thing that I just put into a tweet that I can't wait to post eventually. It's, see it as a seed and an oak tree. Your oak tree, your habit that's been there for ages. You're going to have to keep hacking it in the same place, doing the same shit over and over again to get rid of that habit. The seed is so easy to displant or to wash away. You need to keep focusing on that seed, growing that seed so it grows its roots, it gets stronger. And you're going to have to keep hacking at this oak tree. Like it is so much easier to wash away new habits, to wash away anything that's been there for only a short period of time, but that oak tree is still there. And then if anyone in this listening to this podcast has listened to an episode about 50 episodes ago, but something that I spoke about a lot back then, if you do scroll back to there, is it's almost like having wires in your brain. You have these really, really...
Having what? Wires in your brain?
Yeah, it's just like having these wires, and you have these really thick wires of habits. And they've been there for ages. They're the dominant ones. And every time you try to form new wires, new connections, they're thinner. And you're going to have to keep running those wires to grow them bigger. But these ones are still there. It is so much easier to shift the current to these. So you need to be consciously aware of everything that you do and not let emotions affect you, because feelings are not facts. Yes, they evoke emotions, but all this shiny shit, all these, like, something I did want you to, like, point out a little bit more that you see most obvious on Instagram, especially because that's where everyone's scrolling through their workouts, is the, like, the differentiation. I said a lot, again, that you'll probably want to dig out, but the differentiation, again, between knowing what is the right pathway for you and one that's just going to lead to that self-fulfilling destruction.
Yeah. Here's what it is. And then, I mean, I do have to go, unfortunately, in a minute or two. I'm enjoying this, but I just have to make sure that I keep on time with all the podcasts that I'm doing. But I mean, here's, I guess, the sad truth is the state of people when they're flicking through Instagram, the state of their emotional well-being is often really poor. As a result, Instagram, particularly, is a parasitic network. And it can be used for good. I do think that it can. But I think it is a great net negative for society. And the reason for that is, like I said, people are often not, myself included, in positive states when they're flicking through it. And when somebody is in a not positive, you know, negative emotional state, they're much easier to take advantage of. And they're much easier, and they're much more prone to make rash decisions, emotional decisions, bad decisions, or break habits that are important habits that are actually going to serve them, that are, you know, they're doing their thing because they're not feeling good about themselves, and they see everybody else that seems to be having this amazing life, doing, being successful, looking great, whatever, right? And so I don't have a solution of how to identify good or not good information on Instagram. Maybe there's a way. I think it's too hairy. I think what you need to do is you need to hire a good coach and get the fuck off of Instagram. That's what I think you need to do.
I love that. You can't have too many cooks in the kitchen. You need to stop comparing yourself as well, because I think that's going to be that's the perfect note to end this podcast on, because the more you compare yourself to others, the more that you're going to live in a space of lack, the more that you're going to be chasing. I don't know whether you've read The Gap in the Game or heard of The Gap in the Game, but I'm not a reader. I'm a listener. So I listened to a few podcasts talking about The Gap in the Game. And it's like, you can either live in the gain or the gap, where the gain is you see all that you've gained in the past, and then all that there is to gain, your unlimited potential, your untapped potential. And I put a post up yesterday. I think I tagged you in it. I put up a post that I was so proud of, that it was like, failure is your fertilizer, because that is something that's changed my whole trajectory in life. I love failing because I see it as a fertilizer for my potential. Everything that I do wrong is good data. It is bad, but good data. And that good data is fertilizer for things that I can do to unlock my potential. And as soon as you start to see it that way and stop labeling yourself as a failure and all this stuff you still have to do and how Jenny Doo is doing that, the more that you live in a place where you can accomplish so much more. And I think that is a perfect wrap up, because I know you need to go, and you couldn't have ended it on a better note. I can't appreciate your time enough. I don't know whether there's anything else you want to say. I'm going to put it's Coach John Goodman.
It's Coach Goodman, not John.
Oh, it's Coach Goodman. Coach Goodman. It's Coach Goodman.
I wanted to use, well, so here's the thing. I used to go by Coach John all the time, and I like Coach John. The problem is you can spell John two separate ways. And so it makes for a really bad social media tag, because I have no idea how somebody else would spell it. I mean, I know how I spell it. And so I had to go with Coach Goodman instead of Coach John. That's why I made that change.
I love it. It's Coach Goodman. I still have to think of mine to change so I can tweet the same thing.
You want to know how long it took me to get on Instagram? It took me so long that I had to pick the name. It's Coach Goodman. That's how long it took me to get on Instagram because I was so late to the game.
Yeah.
I have like my PayPal.me is Jonathan. You know, I was early on that game, but Instagram, I was years late.
Yeah. I think I've been following you for like since 2016 on Facebook with the Coaching Academy. So,
right.
I love it. I thank you for your time, and I'm going to put all the show notes below that were emailed to me as well. And honestly, follow his Instagram. He actually puts out a lot of very, very simple stuff that can help you delineate from the bullshit, from the good shit, because we don't want to be bad shit. We want to be good shit because who wants to be bad shit anyway? That stinks. So thank you for your time. And there's nothing else you want to finalize up on.
I'm good. I enjoyed chatting with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much once again. And if you like this podcast, don't forget to subscribe and send it to a friend that may benefit. Thank you.
Bye-bye.